And good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. We have a good show lined up for you here today. Later on in the program, we'll hear from the Lieutenant General Wiggins, Perry Wiggins, on the Governor's Military Council. He's Executive Director of that. We'll do that around 9:30 this morning. We're going to start things off as we do the first Thursday of each month, talking getting an update from the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility. We have three guests on the line this morning. I'll introduce each of them first. Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF coordinator for APHIS. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
Glad to have you with us this morning. He's joined on the phone as well by Katie Pulaski, the NBAF communications director. Katie, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for having us.
We're certainly glad to do that. Mr. Scott Ferris also joins us. He's the NBAF information technology director. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
All right. Thank you guys all for joining us here. We always appreciate getting an update, and I'm going to talk a little bit about IT mostly here this morning, but we'll start things off first with Dr. Burton. We had a case, I know, a couple weeks ago, I guess it was maybe about a week or so ago, actually, where somebody actually tested positive on the construction site for COVID-19. Can you give us a quick summary and updates on the confirmed case that caused the brief shutdown of construction last week?
Sure, Brandon. Yes, it was last Tuesday afternoon, May 26th, and we received a report from Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate that construction operations at the NBAF site were briefly shut down after one of their construction employees tested positive for COVID-19. So following their plan that they had set up, the construction contractor, McCarthy Mortensen Joint Venture, decided to temporarily halt the work and shut down the project to conduct an investigation, and went through a thorough cleaning of the areas visited by the infected staff member. So construction operations resumed the following day, last Wednesday, May 27th. And in addition to all of the required standard construction personal protective equipment, all the employees are now required to wear face coverings, practice social distancing per the CDC guidelines. And while workers are not routinely being tested for COVID-19, all of the employees are now asked a series of health and contact questions prior to starting the workday. So DHS reported yesterday to us that which is June 3rd, that the infected employee has recovered and is going to return to work after appropriate medical clearance. So everything worked out well.
If I remember right, for that to happen, it's got to be two consecutive negative tests, right?
That's my understanding, Brandon.
Okay. Very good. And also, I know, I don't think you guys confirmed this, but I saw it elsewhere that I think maybe the health department said this was not to someone local. This was somebody from out of the area. So no worries as far as we already have community spread. So I don't think that's really a big worry for folks here in the community. But since we are talking construction, do you have any other updates for us?
Sure. The USDA NBAF team, we're still operating under maximum telework, and the great thing is everything's still moving right along as we anticipated. We've got individuals within our team who continue to function in on-site activities. Our facilities group has still been doing training and commissioning on various NBAF equipment and building systems, and receiving at our external warehouse. And then our IT group has continued to support all of the heavily utilized technology systems that allowed us to continue to move forward with our planning and our operational status. So that all has worked well for USDA. And then the construction report, our on-site worker population is about 200 per day, which is down from the peak of about 650 per day last year at this time. The project continues to be reported as on budget. At the end of April, DHS had spent $1.119 billion of the $1.25 billion budget, or about 90% of that. And the spending rate's under $10 million a month, which the peak last spring was about $20 million a month. And as you can guess, due to the impacts of COVID-19 on labor and material availability, you know, there has been an impact, and DHS Science and Technology is still forecasting a potential 2.5 month delay in the completion of NBAS construction. Originally, completion of construction activities was scheduled for December of 2020, and completion of the facility commissioning was May of 2021. And so DHS, you know, is telling us that at this point, current uncertainties kind of limit their ability to be able to provide a reliable forecast for revising the milestone dates. So we don't know for sure what those revised dates are, but they won't be established without some degree of stabilization of the current issues leading to the delay. But the really good news is that even though we have this projected potential delay, DHS S&T is currently projecting that any of the costs associated with the delays can still be covered within the existing $1.25 billion budget. So good news within some of the challenges there.
Yeah, certainly. And I know there's some material shortages. Is that getting any better? Is it improving at all?
My understanding is that it's not particularly material shortages as much as just being able to, you know, the transportation to get those materials there. So from this point, from what I understand, from DHS, is everything's continuing to move along really well, and there hasn't been any major delays or any major problems that they've run into.
I see. Okay. As far as the status of USDA operations for NBAF, are you still teleworking, or are you back in the office now?
Yeah, we're still teleworking, and again, kind of like I mentioned, you know, things are really working well. From that, we still have a few that are providing some on-site services. Scott's group for IT are going by appointment only, and they've been really great to help support getting new employees onboarded, getting their IT equipment to them so that they can continue to participate in the activities and everything. And there's been some challenges, as you can guess. Everybody learning to get up to speed with all of the technology, but it really has worked well. And we've really focused on trying to keep our teams connected through, we've got weekly all-hands meetings, and have really developed, I think, some unique ways to recognize those who are doing work on site. We've instituted what we call the Order of the COVID Halo, and it's kind of a recognition award or group that NBAF units receive this recognition by providing extra effort and support to the NBAF team in relation to the COVID-19 effort. So actually, Scott's group, our IT team, Scott's here with us this morning, his team was the first to be inducted into the Order of the COVID Halo and receive that recognition because of the fact that they really were instrumental in keeping us going and getting us up and running to start with. So, you know, there's been challenges, but it's really been going forward really well.
All right. Well, let's bring Scott on the program here. Scott Ferris, NBAF Information Technology Director. And Scott, tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up working for NBAF.
Yeah, sure. I've worked with USDA for 27 years. My entire career has been supporting technology for science and laboratories in USDA, both through the ARS, which is the Agriculture Research Service, and APHIS, which is the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. I've been involved with the startup of other new lab facilities, including another USDA biocontainment facility. And I've been involved with supporting the APHIS mission at the Plum Island Animal Disease Center, which NBAF is replacing since about 2008. And really got involved with the NBAF planning about 5 years ago. When the IT director position became available, I thought it'd be a great opportunity to apply my experience and be part of starting up another world-class facility. So after living in Iowa for 37 years, my family and I took the leap and we moved to Kansas.
All right. Well, what are some areas of responsibility your team will have once NBAF is open?
We've got a team that focuses on customer needs and endpoint support, and that's not only the traditional desktop and customer support, but also the specialty support needed for laboratory equipment. Also be supporting the audiovisual needs in the labs and conference rooms, visual design, graphics, photography, videography, those kind of needs of the scientific staff and Katie's communication team. Team also works with the NBAF customers to analyze computing needs and software needs in order to help drive the development or acquisition of business and scientific software and the collaboration tools they need. We've got another team handling IT system operations, which includes all the behind-the-scenes work, such as the network and security engineering, the telecommunications, system administration, that sort of thing. We support not only the scientific and business systems and data, but also the infrastructure for the control systems required at this type of facility. We'll support the scientific staff on moving and processing large data sets that comes off of today's modern lab equipment, whether that be processing the data in-house on a high-performance computing environment or collaborating with other universities or other laboratories to analyze that data. In addition to all that, we've got staff handling the IT investment portfolio, various administrative operations, project management, and, of course, cybersecurity for all the systems is a major focus. One other note, our IT staff at NBAF is a branch of the USDA Laboratory and Scientific IT Division, and through that we can leverage other expertise and resources across USDA IT as needed.
All right. Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, the last couple months, a lot of folks have been, you know, working from home. As we heard earlier, Dr. Burton talking, he's still teleworking. What have the last 2 months taught you here in terms of getting people connected, and also, of course, cybersecurity is a big part of that.
Yeah, it's just really been a great effort from the team in addressing all the. The customer needs, a lot of them aren't used to teleworking, and really did a great job of getting everybody productive at home, and had some good collaboration tools available in USDA, and they've really been able to come together and keep the mission going really well.
All right. How big will your IT team be at NBAF, and how many people do you have working for you right now?
We'll have about 28 positions when we're done. We currently have 24 people on the IT staff, and that includes two positions that are currently stationed out at Plum Island to assist with the activities in preparation of transitioning the program here.
Okay. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the recruiting going on there with IT at NBAF. We'll continue our conversation next here on News Radio KMAN.